The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end will still come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Send your spirit upon us. Fill our hearts, our minds, and our imaginations with your fire, with your love, with your compassion. Help us to know that all things are possible in your light. Amen. Please be seated. So, all up and down the Ohio River Valley, which is on the western edge of West Virginia, there are burial mounds, rather large burial mounds. And the largest of them sits in the middle of a small town that was built up around it, very cleverly named Moundsville, West Virginia. And this burial mound was, was built by the Adena people. The Adena people were a pre-Columbian Native American community that existed between about 1000 and 200 BC. And the Adena people built these mounds as burial places. Again, very cleverly named. This particular mound is called Graves Creek because it's a grave sitting by a creek. We're clever people, aren't we? And so Graves Creek is 62 feet high, has a diameter of 192 feet, and they think that probably close to 60,000 tons of dirt was moved to this location to create this mound. And we're talking some 2,500 years ago. That's quite a feat. So the question would be, why? Well, it is believed that, like many places around the globe, this was what is referred to as an axis mundi, a place of access into another realm. A place that we use the word a thin place. A place where the divine feels so close, you can reach out and touch it. Now the question is, was this place an axis mundi? Was it a thin place because the mound was there? They built the mound and buried their folk in it. Or did they build the mound and bury their folk in it because they felt that it was already a thin place? Who knows? Doesn't really matter, because it is. It just is what it is. And like many of these spaces and places all around the world, people go to just be, to be present, to see the history, the amazing feats of early people, but also to experience that thin place, that place where the sacred just seems to be so present. Now, I can't explain it, but I know it to be true. And one of the reasons why I know this to be true is because I've experienced it. And I think most of us have at one point or another. And if you haven't, you actually have, you just didn't notice it. Let me tell you about a couple of my thin places. Two of them are on the same place for years. It's like, I guess, this coming summer will be our 20th summer of going to Peaks Island, Maine. This year, without the children, because they're all up and out of the house, praise be to Jesus. So when the kids were little, it was a wonderful place to raise your children. We just get off the ferry, and they'd just disappear on their bikes, even when they were little tiny, and we'd see them 30 days later, they'd get back in the car, and we'd leave. But when I was a young man, which was a while ago, and the kids were little, the household was exactly what you would expect the household to be, especially if you know the Hoopers. It was a lot of noise, it was a lot of activity, it was a lot of chaos, it was just a lot. And in my early ordained life, I was trying to do everything. I also served in a parish where there was nobody else to do anything. So I was just running around, and by the time we got to vacation, I wouldn't have taken any days off for a long period of time, and I was exhausted. And we'd drive up to Peaks Island, the ferry is in Portland, and we'd get on the ferry, and you could just feel you're getting lighter as you get on the boat. And I had a ritual that every summer, the first time crossing the ferry, I would get out of the car, and the kids would be like, can we go, can we go, can we go? And Priscilla, my wife, would say, just give Dad a chance, give him a moment. And I would walk to the front of the ferry, and I would just breathe. And it was just a different feeling. I get choked up thinking about it. At that point in my life, it was like exactly what I needed. To this very day, I still do the exact same thing. I get on the ferry, I go stand in the front, and I breathe. It's a very different experience now. I'm a different person. I don't run myself quite as ragged as I used to. And the kids only drive me crazy on about a monthly basis. But still, it's a different feeling. The other thin place amongst many in my life is on the opposite side of Peaks Island. There is a sandy beach, which is very rare in Maine. There's a sandy beach that is only exposed at low tide. And it's surrounded by stone cliffs. You know, not cliffs, you know, 20 to 25 feet. And there's a pathway down to the beach. And one of the best kept secrets on the island, thank goodness, is that if you go at that point between mid-tide and high tide, the tide has washed away the beach and cut off access unless you climb down the cliff. So there's no kids or families or anything. In fact, there's nobody out there. But there's a little pool that is perfect for swimming. And I love to go there late in the afternoon if that's when the tide is right. And it is the coldest piece of water on Peaks Island. On a good day, it's 55 degrees. And I go into the water, and the very first thing you feel is your knees start to hurt. And they hurt because they're just so cold. And then this sense of euphoria takes over. It's probably hypothermia, but this sense of euphoria takes over, and it is one of those experiences when I'm having a really crappy day, I can just take myself and my mind there, and everything just kind of loosens up for a minute. It's a place where I can breathe. It's a place where I can be silent. It's a place where I can be calm. And as you know, those are really not definitions of my life or the way I behave. But we all have these places. And they might not even just be places, they might be moments, experiences. And they can even be fleeting. But where that veil between us and the sacred is so thin, you feel in the presence of God. I think in some ways this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, you know, the kingdom of God has come near. It's when we're in that experience, that moment, where it just feels right. Where the ancient and the new kind of come together in this beautiful harmony that is better than either one separately. It's just that moment. One of the other thin places in my life is baptisms. And anybody who's ever been here before knows I love me a good baptism. More than any liturgical event, a good military funeral is awesome too, but a good baptism, nobody does funerals like the Episcopalians and the military put together. I used to work in Northern Virginia. It is a sight to see if you've never been to one before. But that's not the point. Baptisms are that liturgical moment where it feels that the sacred has just kind of burst out into our presence. Even here at St. James's, where our baptisms are such a hot mess. I mean, you'll see. It's chaotic. I will get wet. There will be a big puddle of water on the floor over here. You'd think we were Southern Baptists doing full immersion. It's crazy. But still, it's that moment when the sacred is so present. And it's kind of weird to think about it. I mean, like, why? I mean, you know, he's a cute kid. I'm sure he's a lovely child. But he's accomplished nothing in his life. I mean, I'm sure there are great things in store, but other than figuring out how to drive his parents crazy, eat a whole bunch, and poop a bunch, the kid doesn't do anything. But yet, oh, come here. Jude, come here, buddy. Hey, you watch this stuff cry. Hey, bud. Right? Am I right? There's just something about a baby. I mean, I saw Carrie up here a second ago with this child who's smaller than my head. And it's just sacred. And it's not sacred because it's accomplished anything grand and glorious. They're not sacred because we know what's going to happen. They're sacred because they are. And one of the things I love about a baptism and that kind of sense of divinity and sacredness that rises up before us is it reminds us of our own sanctity. It reminds us of what we can be, who and whose we are. It's that moment when if you allow yourself to be released into it, can change you. It's like tears in church. Who cries in church from time to time? Oh, Hillary, you big liar. I mean, it's not Sunday unless I cry or get choked up. And who knows why? Half the time, I can't figure out what's got me choked up. Half the time, people say to me all the time, I just started to cry. I don't know why. And I'm like, the music was okay. But no, there's just something about being. Well, there's just something about being. Being together. Reminding each other through archaic words that we are loved by God. By lifting up these small children and say, it's amazing. It's sacred. It's a blessing. So please, for your own sake, for the people who love you, for the people who have to spend their days with you, please open your heart and your minds and your eyes and your ears and all your senses to those thin places in your world. Because they are there. I absolutely guarantee it. They are there. And they can be something as benign as that ferry ride out to Pepys Island. They can be something as grand and glorious as walking up the Solfatory Glacier to Machu Picchu, which I had the privilege of doing a few years ago. Or they can just simply be sitting there in the company of a person you love and knowing that you don't even have to say anything at all. It can be a good meal, a nice bottle of wine. It can be a walk in the woods, a hunting trip with your son. It can be anything.